It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
I have no dealings with Russia. I have no deals in Russia. I have no deals that could happen in Russia because we've stayed away. And I have no loans with Russia. We could make deals in Russia very easily if we wanted to. I just don't want to because I think that would be a conflict.
That was Donald Trump yesterday in his first press conference in a lot of months and very close to his inauguration. It was a barnstorming press conference. 300 reporters there in the atrium of the Trump Tower, and boy, did it get heated. Now, you heard him talk just now about his business deals with Russia. Part of what he talked about was how he was going to put his businesses in the hands of his son and how they were going to handle his, you know, billions of dollars of business interests around the world without conflict of interest. I'm not going to go into that this morning, but that is what he laid the groundwork for. But that's not all. You heard him say just now, I have no dealings with Russia, I'm not involved with Russia, etc. Well, it's funny because Newsbusters this morning came out with a report, and this is what it says. From December 8th to January the 8th, media research center analysts found that journalists on ABC, CBS, and NBC repeated this loaded phrase at least 49 times in their morning and evening broadcast, talking about hacked elections by the Russians. After blaming the Electoral College for Clinton's loss didn't work, the media moved on to blur the release of Democratic emails with the idea that Russia hacked the election. In fact, the declassified version of the report released January 6 flatly stated that, quote, DHS assesses that the types of systems Russian actors targeted or compromised were not involved in vote tallying. In other words, while embarrassing email from the Democratic political operatives were publicized, America's election machinery was not hacked. And yet again, to repeat, from December 8th to January the 8th, ABC, CBS, and NBC repeated that phrase, hacked elections by the Russians, 49 times. And that gives you an idea of why things went the way they did yesterday in the press conference. There is such incredible information coming out, and I'm going to start the conversation letting John Roberts kind of set the table for the story. Let's listen.
A senior source inside the transition tells Fox News tonight that contrary to reports, the intelligence chiefs never handed Donald Trump a written summary of these unsubstantiated allegations that Russia was compiling information on Trump with which to blackmail him. It was allegedly given to him on Friday when he was briefed on Russian cyber spying. At his press conference today, Trump was on the warpath about those reports. To Donald Trump, it was merely another attempt by opponents to diminish his presidency. The release of a dossier of damaging, in some cases salacious, allegations that were completely unverified.
Disgraceful that the intelligence agencies allowed any information that turned out to be so false and fake. And that's something that Nazi Germany would have done and did do.
The allegations had been quietly circulating for months among politicos and reporters. A senior transition source tells Fox News it was, quote, barely mentioned in passing by the intel chiefs on Friday, and that Trump saw the substance of the allegations later.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff. It didn't happen. And it was gotten by opponents of ours, as you know, because you reported it and so did many of the other people. It was a group of opponents that got together, sick people.
As Trump's team was searching for a way to battle back after its release, Trump was thrown a lifeline by Vladimir Putin, whose spokesman said the Kremlin never collected compromising information on Trump, calling the document an utter fabrication and nonsense.
President Putin and Russia put out a statement today that this fake news was indeed fake news. They said it totally never happened. Now, somebody would say, oh, of course he's going to say that. I respected the fact that he said that.
But Trump's praise for Putin had its limits. In response to a question from Fox News acknowledging for the first time that Putin did, in fact, likely order the hack of the DNC.
As far as hacking, I think it was Russia.
And Trump pledged when he becomes president, the relationship with Putin will be very different.
He shouldn't be doing it. He won't be doing it. Russia will have much greater respect for our country when I'm leading it than when other people have led it. But I won't be given a little reset button like Hillary. Here, press this piece of plastic.
All right, so that's a little bit of a kind of a foretaste of the story. So here's the deal. I told you just last week, I think it was, that members of the intelligence community and former members have been saying in meetings that I've been in that the intelligence agencies are completely and totally, after 8 years, they are Barack Obama. They are just owned. The people in there are appointed by him, and that there's a rottenness to it. That's my words. And that the members of the intelligence community, they verified and said in these meetings, are out to get Donald Trump. Now, this is a very dangerous situation. It's a very dangerous situation. And Donald Trump yesterday, I think in his press conference, talked about he conducted his own personal sting on the briefers. He was just briefed by John Brennan and FBI Director Comey and who's the other guy? Can see him with the glasses. I can't think of his name, but briefed by them. And he said what he did was every time he's briefed, the information from the briefing is out to the press. And he's thinking, how does this happen? And so he decided to, he thought, maybe, is it my staff? So he scheduled a briefing without telling any of his staff. No one knew, even his most trusted staffers. And he was briefed. He didn't even mention the names of who briefed him. I think John Brennan was included, as I read. And immediately, the information was leaked. And so now he knows. It is the intelligence, the few that came in to brief him. It's one of them, some of them, one of them, all of them, that are leaking to the press, which is absolutely forbidden. I mean, they are in the business of keeping America's secrets. They are actively working. I don't know all of them. I'm not saying all of them are. You know, I've told you before that John Brennan, to me, has a very dark cloud over him. I don't know if this is true, but I do know that from two different sources, I've been told that he converted to Islam when he was in Saudi Arabia. He's not an honest person. So, I would investigate him first. If you ask me, I would investigate him first. And so what are these allegations? The briefing, first of all, that's a little separate. The briefing, someone in the intelligence community leaked to the press. But secondary to that is this whole business of this 36-page dossier being printed by BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed, by the way, is affiliated with Newsweek, about these salacious accusations against Donald Trump, completely unsubstantiated. And by the way, the press has had these for over a year. No one has printed them because I was reading last night because I need to do that, you know. I was reading some of it, and I was thinking about reading this to you, but could I just say that it's just dumb? Anybody reading this can tell that this is just, I should read a little bit to you. Here we go. It says, it's talking about when Trump was in Moscow. According to Source D, Trump's perverted conduct in Moscow, including hiring the presidential suite of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, where he knew President and Mrs. Obama, whom he hated, had stayed on one of their official trips to Russia, and defiling the bed where they had slept by employing a number of prostitutes to perform blah, 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 blah. So the allegation is that Donald Trump just figured out where Mr. and Mrs. Obama had stayed and which bed, and then he proceeded to defile the bed. Because he hated them so. That's one of the probably most salacious allegations. And there's more detail in it that's more disgusting. But it's really dumb. I have to say, it's really dumb. And it turns out that this whole project was commissioned, as it were, by one of Donald Trump's Republican opponents. Now, it hasn't published which, and I could fill in the blanks. I'm thinking Jeb Bush, because who had more money to do something like this. And he was the chief opponent. So I'm not saying he's responsible for the content of it, but look, that's speculation on my part. No one has said that, but it's by one of his Republican opponents. So who do you think it was? You know, Ben Carson, Ted Cruz? I don't think so. So they go in and they hire trying to get information and dirt on Donald Trump to destroy him. But then who is the one who carries the water? It's John McCain. We know now from a very lengthy article this morning in the Daily Mail and other reports, too, although I found the other reports, like Fox, sort of downplayed it because, you know, John McCain's like the darling. I don't know why. He's no darling to me. And this is what I said. Arizona senator who disowned Trump before the election admits he handed the document outlining claims of Kremlin blackmail to the FBI. He was simply a concerned citizen, he claimed. And the brief statement claims that he received it and gave it directly to FBI Director James Comey. All right, so here's one of the worst parts of it to me. Catherine Herridge probably tells it better than I can. So let's listen to Catherine report on this.
But the dossier was known to senior intelligence officials, and the FBI was working to confirm or discredit the claims. Last night, CNN was first on the air, and BuzzFeed went further, posting the document from a former British spy who was paid by Republicans and Democrats for opposition research. Quote, "We have always erred on the side of publishing," BuzzFeed said. "As we noted in our story, there is serious reason to doubt the allegations. Publishing this document was not an easy or simple call, and people of goodwill may disagree with our choice." After the Trump news conference, CNN released its own statement. "Our decision to publish carefully sourced reporting about the operations of our government is vastly different than BuzzFeed's decision to publish unsubstantiated memos. The Trump team knows this. I cannot confirm or deny whether these media reports are the subject of investigation by intelligence agencies," the senior Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee said. "I do believe that the House and Senate Intelligence Committees should lead a completely nonpartisan investigation into the entire spectrum of Russian covert influence activities in the United States and abroad." Writing on Twitter, Hillary Clinton's former campaign manager accused the FBI director of a double standard. James Comey was given information about Trump exchanges with Russia last year, but no letter to Congress and the voters. Stunning. Mr. Trump said today, he concluded after a recent briefing, that the leaks have come from the intelligence community.
"And what happened is I had my meeting. Nobody knew, not even Rona, my executive assistant for years. She didn't know. I didn't tell her. Nobody knew. The meeting was had. The meeting was over. They left. And immediately, the word got out that I had a meeting."
There was no response from the head of the intelligence community this evening. Separately, the episode was described to Fox News as unfortunate because in private, the relationship between Mr. Trump and the intelligence community leadership is respectful, even good, Brett.
Yeah. Okay. So who said that? I'm sure the intelligence community, I don't believe that. I think, you know, Trump has been talking about shaking up the entire intelligence community, and I think he's going to have to do that. And let me just say, you know, CNN is acting like they didn't do anything, and they're the ones that started this, actually. And then BuzzFeed published the whole report. So they were on the air last night, backtracking. But let me read to you what John Nolte had to say about all of this. He said, "With the completely fact and evidence-free dog and pony show put on by the Intelligence Committee and their media allies late Tuesday afternoon, the establishment empire struck again. And this time with an unprecedented double down, no doubt working in tandem and with Donald Trump's many establishment enemies on both the left and right, CNN and BuzzFeed did something so sleazy and dishonest that just a few years ago, even to a media cynic like me, it would have seemed impossible." And so he goes on to say, "Trust me, CNN and BuzzFeed's timing was no accident. CNN claims that Trump and Obama being briefed on the matter made it legitimate news. But anyone who tells you the timing and leak of that briefing was an accident or uncoordinated is a total fool or shameless liar." I have other quotes I wanted to read to you. Some other journalists who don't like Trump who said reading the whole thing is totally, but you can tell as I read you that section how silly it all is. It's obvious that it is constructed and it's fabricated. It's not. There's nothing that resonates with any kind of a verifiable claim. So they tried to take him down in that press conference, but I don't think they succeeded. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Dan Celia, of Financial Issues.
I think income ultimately is the most important thing that we protect. I know one thing, and I know this from sitting across a lot of tables from a lot of people over the years, that at some point in time, maybe it's 75, maybe it's 85, there will be a point in time where the only thing you care about is how much income you have coming in. Don't let your portfolio be 100% subject to the volatility in the markets or dependent upon the market. Shore up some permanent income along with Social Security and your maybe a pension. Have some charitable gift annuity to shore that up. I hope you'll call the AFA Foundation today and find out more detail about a charitable gift annuity.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hi, this is Ron Ball, and this is your Choose Greatness Minute. I used to visit a wonderful friend of mine, a lady with a godly heart and a great commitment to Christ. She was very wealthy, and I used to visit her and ask her how she was growing spiritually. She was always positive, always happy, and always full of thankfulness to God. One day, she told me the source of her gratitude to God. She said, "I've lived a very difficult life. I lost my husband very early. I've had multiple health challenges. I've had serious challenges with members of my family, especially my grandchildren. But," she said, "through it all, God has been so good to me, and I learned that if I would praise God, if I would thank God, it would lift my heart and God would work." I never forgot that lesson of praise from this dear friend of mine. Do you want to be great? Learn to praise God in all of your circumstances. Learn to thank God in all of your situations. Do you want to learn more? Go to choosegreatness.com. That's choosegreatness.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. Pavel Fesyuk of Rochester, New York, is an exterminator by day and a cage fighter by night. The other day, he was at a red light when he noticed a motorist in distress. The driver had something lodged in his throat. Others drove around the stricken man, but Pavel pulled over to help, and the entire episode was captured on a dash cam video. Now, the victim was much larger than Pavel, so the Heimlich maneuver was out of the question. So Pavel improvised, using a move he normally uses to take down fighters. And sure enough, it worked. You can watch the video on ToddStarnes.com. His colleagues are calling him a hero, but Pavel said he just offered to help someone in need, much like a Good Samaritan once did in a time long past, lending comfort and aid to a stranger when others turned away. A modern-day parable. In Rochester, New York, I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. I want to remind you, hey, listen, first of all, thank you for your generosity to provide ultrasounds to various care pregnancy centers. We've talked about it all week. Mission Preborn is the organization, and 100% of the money that you give will go to buy ultrasounds. And it's amazing the stories about how women's minds have been changed once they see the formation of the little baby in their womb. They just decide not to terminate the pregnancy. And so with that, it's a marvelous way to save lives. Marvelous. And if you have not given, the phone number is 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can go to AFR.net, AFR.net, and $28, by the way, will pay for one woman seeking an abortion to have a free ultrasound. So $28, and of course you can do the math if $140 will pay for five, and on it goes, but just give as you can, all right? 877-616-2396. Well, let me just tell you that the FBI and the Secret Service, it has come to my attention, are planning incredible security for the inauguration. They're calling it 360 security, 360 degree security. And maybe for good reason, because There are groups all over this country who are planning to completely disrupt and derail everything that's going on in Washington. And as a matter of fact, one of them is called Refuse Fascism. And I want you to hear a part of a video that they prepared to whip up their members to disrupt the inauguration. Let's listen.
In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. Donald Trump, the president-elect, is assembling a regime of grave danger. Millions of people in the U.S. and around the world are filled with deep anxiety, fear, and disgust. Our anguish is right and just. Our anger must now become massive resistance before Donald Trump is inaugurated and has the full reins of power in his hands. Should we fail to rise with determination and daring in our millions now to stop this, the consequences for humanity will be disastrous.
All right, that's enough of that. The next one is a man who comes, and I just want you to hear the first part of what he has to say. Let's listen.
Is Vladimir Putin a war criminal?
Now, a lot of y'all know me. I'm still the same guy. I'm a revolutionary communist. I'm a follower of Bob Avakian. I've spent my life fighting to make revolution and bring into being a radically different world. And I know that this is still what humanity needs to end the horrors of this system once and for all, and that making this revolution is possible. And right now, coming from that viewpoint, I see the need, the burning need, to throw in with everybody else to accomplish a goal that is far short of revolution. And that goal is stopping the Trump-Pence regime before it gets started.
All right, that's enough of that. So you get the idea. It's a long video, and they're whipping up the troops, and that's just one group. Well, Liz Schell joins me this morning. Liz is the president and CEO of Red Revolver Strategies. She is a contributor and editor to PJ Media. She's a graduate of Harvard, pretty smart girl, and she follows the left very carefully. I've asked her to join us this morning to talk about the plans to disrupt the Trump administration. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Sandy.
What do you know about this Refuse Racism, a fascism organization, Liz?
You know, these groups, they tend to repackage themselves, but they're always the same people with different names. So you have the regular people who are just unhappy with the election results that sort of get swept into this. And then you have these core anarchists and communists who are sort of show up at all of the social unrest events around the country for whatever reason. They're at Ferguson, you know, they were at protesting in St. Louis. They're always around. So it's really the same old people just repackaging based on their particular grievance. Current grievance is the inauguration of the man who was just elected lawfully as president of this country. So this is their latest iteration.
And that's just one group. And by the way, in regard to Refuse Fascism, according to other reports, they are, as you said, part of what was Occupy Wall Street. And they are funded by George Soros. They're funded by George Soros, the Hungarian billionaire fascist leftist who's bent on destroying the country. That's the irony, Liz, that they can get away with this. It's amazing to me.
They have the right. If they want to go out and protest, that's great. I'm not sure why they're telling their members or their followers that they're going to stop anything. I mean, nothing's going to stop. They can certainly hold up a sign and protest, and we do that on the right as well, and that's fine, and that's all right. But I'm not sure why they think they're going to stop the actual inauguration. They're going to have a lot of disappointed people after the weekend's over, and they haven't stopped anything.
Yeah, absolutely. But they do have some very detailed plans. And I think, you know, I was looking at this one. I know you're aware of it, Liz, this Disrupt J20.
Yeah.
What do you know about them?
Well, it's the same crew of people that are are professional agitators. They're constantly upset, and now they're bringing their show to D.C. They've got a schedule. They're going to be making different appearances around D.C. at events, and they're going to disrupt one of the inauguration balls, I think. They're going to blockade things. The problem is a lot of these people are actually, not a lot, but part of the core of these groups, they are violent people, right? This isn't your average person who just is just holding up a sign. These people are prone to violence. They want to get violent. That's their goal. So I don't think the Capitol Police and the feds are going to be very welcoming of the violence. I'm not sure what sort of welcome they're going to receive, but they're going to be there. They're going to be at different places around D.C. trying to disrupt events, blockading things. And, you know, we'll see what sort of violence breaks out, what they do. I'm not sure they're moving anyone over to their cause by blocking traffic or preventing people from going about their business who live in D.C. I don't see that as gaining much sympathy.
You know, Liz, you have a lot. Look, I've dealt with the left for years, but I don't have necessarily acquaintances or associations. You have more knowledge and more upfront contact with them. How, if you had to guess, and it is only a guess, how large do you think the contingent is in this country, percentage-wise? Who's doing this? How many people are really committed to this?
Yeah, that's a great question, Sandy. I think because the media is part of the movement sympathetically, they portray this to be much larger than it is. Just in the research I've done, especially on polling numbers, real progressives, you're looking at 10% or less of Americans identify that, and that isn't include the violent ones. I mean, that's an even smaller number of people. So when you're looking and you're watching the coverage of Inauguration Weekend and the media is talking about how many people are here, it's probably a lie. And they're always puffing it up. It's really not as much. How could it be as much as they like to claim when Donald Trump just won the election?
Yeah.
It's just not nearly as many people as they think it is. And most people, even those who did not support Trump, who are just your sort of more average, regular, maybe slightly left-leaning people who supported Hillary Clinton, they're over it, and they want the government to get on with its business. So, I find this, a lot of this stuff, the extreme stuff, just to be selfish on their part. They're not convincing anyone. They just call people a lot of names and make terrible accusations. So they're not making people sympathetic to their cause. They're just sort of engaging in this theatrics and this theater, and especially with the violence, I don't know. It's not nearly as much as the media would make you believe it is. And we'll see what happens. The Capitol Police is not like other police forces. I mean, they have zero tolerance. So I expect there to be some spectacles during Inauguration Week when these people get out of hand.
Yeah, me too. But you know, it's an interesting thing, Liz, because you know the mayor of D.C. is no fan of Donald Trump. And sometimes I feel when I'm going into the district to park or go to meetings I actually feel like I'm in some foreign country, honestly.
Yeah,
like I'm in a hostile territory. So it'll be interesting to see if their police force, you know, will coordinate and cooperate, or if they will cooperate to kind of disrupt this. You know, this Disrupt 20 has extensive plans. They've even listed all of the places they're going to be meeting, American University to organize, St. Stephen's Church to sleep. They have medical services set up, and they've got all the bases covered.
Oh, I'm sure they have a lot of lawyers, too, because they always bring their lawyers with them. But here's the thing. The local police, even though Washington, D.C. is a city, is very, very left-wing, and the mayor is as left-wing as well. When they start, if they start hurting people, like civilians, just regular people walking around, people who live here, that's really the line that's crossed. And the local police force, I think, will do the right thing. So once this crosses over into, you know, peaceful protests, I'm holding up a sign, to I'm throwing things, I'm kicking in shop windows, I'm throwing Molotov cocktails, then it's over. And just to remind everybody, we were given a lot of hype about what was going to happen at the RNC. Remember that? We were told it was going to be World War III.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there was going to be murders there because there was open carry in Ohio and all of this stuff. And you know what? We didn't really have much happen. So I think a lot of this is hype, and sometimes it does bleed over into violence, which is very unfortunate. But these law enforcement officials here in D.C., as you said, 360, they're not going to do this. People come in, tourists come for this event, and when you start hurting innocent people with violent actions or your protests, I don't see it getting very far.
It's almost like the air has gone out of the hard left a little, whether they know it or not. And I was thinking of the Sessions hearing just yesterday and the day before, Liz. We were, concerned. We knew they were going to go after Senator Sessions in the lying, attack, destructive way they always do, but it didn't work. They had a lot of protesters. They were organized in that room, a lot of disruptions, but somehow it just didn't work. It's like something has shifted.
Yeah, I think that you always are going to have this sort of clowns, the people who dress up and the people that are going to disrupt hearings. And I think as far as the Democrat Party is concerned, they've really lost control of their nutters, the more crazy element that does things like that. And so, because I don't think the Democrats know what else to do except these sorts of displays. But the average American, again, even someone who's like your average Democrat, this is not gaining any sympathy from them, this sort of clown show. And it's hard. Senator Sessions came off very likable, very authentic. It just seemed, the left seemed like nothing was sticking to him. And they can continue to do this during the other hearings, and I'm sure that they're going to try and disrupt it. And the senators are going to continue to ask our questions, but I just don't see it as very effective. And the more extreme elements are the ones that get a lot of attention. So, and because there's no message control anymore, because no one in the party has sat back and said, let's take a look at what really happened here. Maybe we are out of touch with the regular American. Instead, it's like they're doubling down. So you have someone like Meryl Streep, who inadvertently offends a bunch of people who like mixed martial arts and NFL. You have more of these extreme displays, these making fun of Senator Sessions' grandchildren because they're Asian. Things that seem funny to them because they're so isolated and out of touch, which just to the average person are repugnant. So I don't see how successful overall this is going to be unless the Democrats really sit back and say, maybe we are out of touch with what a lot of people in this country think and believe.
I'm sorry, I don't see that. I don't see that happening.
No, I don't see it happening either, but
I don't think that, I don't think it's a, they're just so, it's hard for me to get into the mind of the hard left. It is. I have to confess, I just, because it's so beyond the pale of my own personal thinking and the thinking of the people that I spend time with. And I guess that's the way they feel about us too. But it is untethered from reality. Truth is what comports with what you actually see. And it's untethered. And so that's why it's hard to relate to. But Liz, it's always a pleasure. Are you going to write about this? Have you got an article?
I might. I'm going to be watching closely to see what happens. As you know, the Women's March is having all sorts of inner fights. That seems to be full of tension. So I'm all keeping an eye on that. So women organized a march, and apparently they have their own little identity politics within that.
So they're group. Fighting.
And then it was too white, and it's almost like they can't stop doing that kind of stuff. No matter where they go, there has to be some sort of grievance hierarchy.
Yeah.
And that has to be acknowledged. So, there's a lot of comedy associated with these protests, and
Liz,
sadly, it can be dangerous. So I'm hoping everybody stays safe, and I support people's right to protest. But Please be safe and don't hurt others.
Okay, Liz, thanks. That's great. Liz Scheld, Revolver, Red Revolver Strategies and PJ Media. We'll post whatever you write. Sandy Rios in the morning.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. What do the Vatican, Malta, Dominican Republic, El Salvador, Nicaragua, and Chile have in common? Abortion is not allowed under any circumstances. These six nations are joined by numerous others who only allow abortion if the mother's life is in danger. Even then, abortion is only allowed sparingly. Yet while many nations limit abortion, the United States is one of only seven countries in the world that permit elective abortion right up until the moment of birth, putting us in the top 4% of having the most abhorrent abortion policies in the world, a distinction we share with repressive regimes such as North Korea and China. Numerous third world countries protect the unborn, yet the so-called leader of the free world butchers them. Which is the more civilized society? May God bring us to repentance. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
One of the leading indicators of a community in crisis is the breakup of the family. I think it's a very clear illustration of what our culture demands right now, and that is the leadership of the church rolling up its sleeves, getting into our communities.
Hear the latest from Washington from a Christian, conservative worldview. Washington Watch Weekly with Tony Perkins, Saturdays at 6 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. 1,790 families have had their homes rebuilt because of you, the listener at American Family Radio, when you have partnered with 8 Days of Hope. We've been all over the country helping disaster victims to no fault of their own who lose everything to see volunteers show up and help them rebuild. 2 years ago, we started a rapid response division that goes within 72 hours and since then have gone to 15 communities across America. Would you consider becoming a part of 8 Days of Hope as we continue to look for ways to grow the ministry in 2017, please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, and click on Get Involved, submit your email address, and the next time we go anywhere with a disaster, we'll invite you to come along as well. Please continue to pray for the ministry as we look forward to what God has in store for us. Thank you so much for your prayers, your financial support, and volunteering with 8 Days of Hope.
AFR urges you to support the ministry of 8 Days of Hope at 8daysofhope.com.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Yesterday was something of a twofer for my organization, the Center for Security Policy, and for two liberties we cherish, freedom of speech and freedom of association. First, a Texas judge dismissed a lawsuit claiming that my colleague, Jim Hansen, had defamed Ahmed Mohammed, better known as the Clock Boy. Jim had exercised his right to speak freely by noting, among other things, that the so-called invention young Mohammed brought to his school in Irving, Texas back in 2015 looked a lot like a bomb. Then in a Senate hearing, Senator Richard Blumenthal smeared our center as a hate group, criticizing Attorney General-designate Jeff Sessions for receiving an award from us. Senator Sessions observed that the Democrats' former vice presidential candidate Senator Joe Lieberman had accepted the same award. The center is proud to defend freedom and counter those who don't. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
No, Mr. President-elect.
Go ahead.
Mr. President-elect, since you are attacking our
not
news
you.
Organization,
not you.
Can you give us a chance?
Your organization.
You are attacking
terrible.
Our news organization.
Your organization.
Can you give us a chance to ask a question, sir?
Go ahead.
Sir,
quiet.
Can you state,
quiet.
Mr. President-elect,
go ahead.
Can
she's,
you state
she's
categorically,
asking a question. Don't be rude.
Mr. President-elect, can you give us a
don't
question?
Don't be
you're
rude.
Attacking us. Can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
Can you
no,
give
I'm
us
not
a question?
I'm not going to give you a question.
Can you state categorically?
You are fake news.
So that's how it went down yesterday. And of course, that was a CNN reporter trying to get a word in edgewise, but Trump would not let him. And he said, "You are fake news." And we have talked about fake news enough that you know what that is. And I think you'd like to think that all reporters can get a question at a presidential press conference. But when they start to lie and set up a president, which they've been doing this for a long time, by the way, it really is over the line. It has been over the line since the years of Richard Nixon. And that's when I first remember the press really trying to destroy, literally destroy a man. Not interested in truth, just really interested in just taking him down. And so this is a new era, and I have to think myself about how we should feel about all of this. But CNN, of course, according to other sources, was complicit with BuzzFeed, and we're not innocent about their role in making public these salacious, unproven, ridiculous, really, allegations against Donald Trump in Russia. So you know what? I think it would be interesting to hear your thoughts about this. Just what you think about anything we've talked about this morning. If you watched the Trump press conference or you watched the president's speech this week, anything that's happened this week, our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. It would be a pleasure to talk to you. I want to tell you another interesting thing. You know, we did a whole show last Friday on gaslighting. And remember, that's that term comes from the movie Gaslight with Ingrid Bergman and Maurice Chevalier. But who's the other Frenchman? Can't think of his name. He's her husband, and he tries to make her think she's going crazy. And she's not going crazy. Well, she's going crazy, but she's perfectly sane. And the term for that, when someone is presenting you alternate facts from reality and trying to make sociopaths use this a lot. It happens in relationships, is gaslighting. And we talked a great deal about it. If you did not hear that discussion, could I recommend you go find the podcast from last Friday with Stella Morabito, and we'll talk about it. But this is the reason I mention it, again, is because this morning CNN has a title, last night, Donald Trump is gaslighting all of us. And it's written by Frida Gitas. She says, is Donald Trump really a big fan of the intelligence community, as he claimed on Twitter, or did he disparage intelligence professionals when he repeatedly referred to them and their work in sneer quotes about intelligence briefings and the so-called Russian hacking? Did Trump mock a disabled reporter, or did your eyes in the Hollywood elite make you think he did? Did he convince Ford not to move a car plant to Mexico, saving American jobs, or was it all a fabrication for publication? All right, so the left is trying to use the same word that we're using for what the leftist press is doing. The problem is, this is easy to fix, not worried at all, because gaslighting is a case of people trying to tell you lies and make you think that what you believe and what you see with your own eyes is not really true. And so what we have to do is look at what we see as true, and then we know who's gaslighting who, right? Okay, I'm anxious to talk to you, so let's get about the business of doing that. Let me go to Joan in Mississippi. Good morning, Joan.
Hey, good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say I was so proud of President-elect Trump. I would love to go ahead and call him President Trump. For so long, I am sick and tired of the press taking advantage of individuals and exploiting them when we've had President Obama, who they have just kowtowed to, never asking tough questions. And for once, I'm just so grateful that somebody has the guts to stand up to them. And my daughter and I were watching it last night, and we both were just commending him. We've just been dumbed down for so long by what the press wants to give us, tell us. And I think we are awakening up, and we're seeing the falsehoods and the lies, especially during the Obama administration, seeing how he got away with so much division. Never once did they ever address the division that this president has caused, not only in the United States, but also in the world. And I'm just grateful to have someone who could be coming in office that is proud of America and is not ashamed to step on somebody who is being disrespectful and putting out lies. And that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, Joan, I agree with you. And I think, as I have said before, and I'll repeat, I'm beginning to understand that the enthusiastic support for Donald Trump is less about him, because I think he still is unproven, and I think there are probably some things we might not like that he does as a president. But I think we have all been under the bondage of political correctness, of the lies of the media. They're trying to make us think that we're crazy when we see before our eyes what the truth is, and yet they tell us something different. And I think this is that strong reaction. No, it's like we're breaking free. And it'll be interesting to see if this is a major shift or if they're able to pull it back. Because, you know, the media is trying now to label people like this show or American Family Radio or Fox as fake news. You know, that's what, or Drudge or Breitbart or some of the others. And they're trying to discredit us by calling us fake news. So I don't know if they're, and they've tried to do it through regulation. They want to do it through, you know, stopping talk radio. Now they've lost power in the House and the Senate and in the White House. And so they're not going to be able to do that for a while, but that's what they're going to keep trying to do. You can believe that, because they do not like being out of control with trying to tell us what to think and try to tell us what reality is when we know what reality is. So, Joan, for right now, I'm with you. I'm thrilled. It's enough of this stuff. Thank you so much. Let's go to Toby in Arkansas. Good morning, Toby.
Hey, good morning, Sandy. I just want to say that these attacks against Donald Trump are much bigger than Trump. They are attacks against the millions and millions of voters in America that voted this man into office. They are attacks against free elections and the republic that we live in, and we are getting very tired of it. I want to also say that John McCain, and I am a veteran, I have a certain amount of respect for him, but whatever respect I had has greatly diminished. He needs to be recalled by the people in Arizona. Get him out of the way. He's a troublemaker. These fascist people that are accusing us of the fascism, they are the Nazi mentality people that want to disrupt this republic and bring violence and disruption to our way of life. And we have had a gutful, Sandy, of listening to the lies. It's time for the Christian community to get organized, to focus on prayer. Donald Trump and his family need to be covered by prayer every day, and all those with him. God bless America, and God bless you for what you do.
Now, Toby, thank you. Thank you. Can't add to that. Very well said. Now, the only thing is, I know Toby feels this way, because I know he does. I always hasten to add, you know, and I know, that our hope is not in a human. Our hope, I just can't emphasize enough that we do not place our hope in a man. Although, you know, it seems that Trump is a breath of fresh air. Thank God for him. And I totally agree, we need to pray for his safety. Can you imagine the plots and the plans against him? And so, but our hope is in Jesus. And that's why we cannot forget that we must take this answer to prayer to spare our nation for now as a marching orders from God himself to clean up our lives and to really start preaching the gospel and work on the hearts and minds of our fellow citizens, so that we can really transform the culture. We can do that now. And I don't think it's going to happen through the Congress. It's going to happen. It's going to bubble up, because they're followers, not leaders. And so just that constant admonition. You're going to hear me say that a lot, because I think it is so important. And I remind myself when I say that. Let's go to Gary in Kentucky. Good morning, Gary.
Yeah. Hey, Miss Sandy. God bless you for your show and the truth that you bring.
Thank you.
I am so excited for Mr. Trump being in as our president-elect. God placed him there. I have no doubt in my mind that God placed him there. You're not going to outsmart that man. He's smart. For instance, yesterday when he had the security conference, he didn't even tell his longtime assistant that he was having
yes,
that meeting.
Yes, we talked about that.
And then
I talked about that on the air. He did. He kind of tricked the intel, and he found out that the leak is coming from the intelligence agencies. Gary, I agree. He's a smart guy, and I think we are very blessed. Thank you very much. Let's go to Virginia and talk to Elisa. Good morning, Elisa.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much. I just want to say a couple things. Thank you so much. I have been listening to you since I think it was your first radio show, and I thank God for you because you are one of the most powerful news stations that we have. I try every morning not to miss you when I drive my son to work, but to school, rather. But I just want to thank you for your accurate news reporting because I think a lot of America is misled, and they are under kind of this cloud of everything that has been fed them that, like you said, I think yesterday on your program, that we don't – Americans don't know how to think and reason and debate, and it's just, it's appalling. So that's one thing I wanted to say. The other thing, I think Trump, I'm growing in admiration for this man more each day. Yes, he's not perfect. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But he's been raised up for such a time as this. God makes no mistakes. And I believe, I think personally, they should fine or revoke their licenses to these news people. When they report fake news, I mean, we trust the news media to report accurately. When there's a war and someone is laying down their life going over there to report what's accurately going on overseas, we trust them that they are telling us the truth. So how can we trust them even in our own land when they are fabricating this fake news, these fake reports? Yeah. And who is behind it? Who is paying these people? There has to be some benefit that they're getting, that they're amassing from doing this, because they're putting their own reputation on the line. And can't they just say, okay, so if they've been proven to have fake news, say, fine them for 6 months or don't let them report again.
Well,
put the fear of them, you know, in their broadcasting so that America doesn't continue to be led astray. This is ridiculous.
Lisa, thank you for that. I'm going to let you go, but then I'm going to respond to that. Thank you so much for your kind comments. The problem is that I don't think we want the federal government. I think we need to avoid at all costs control of the press. I think that probably the best way to maybe achieve that, and I'm just thinking off the top of my head, is some sort of an independent body, not governmental, but some sort of like a media research center, you know, is always exposing the lies. There could be sort of a gold standard for news. New York Times used to be that. They're now the worst of the worst. There needs to be a body that sort of it watches all of this and tells us. And by reputation, you know, I have to tell you, I think CNN and BuzzFeed have really taken a hit. Even their fellow reporters are coming after them. And that's really the most effective way to discredit them so that people stop listening and they don't trust them anymore. That's better than having the government, because when the government is in the control of people that we can't trust, then they would have that same power against us, and that's what we've been avoiding. I'm going to go to Esmer. He's got the last word in Texas. Good morning, Esmer.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. Just 1 minute is all you have.
Okay, real quick. I'm sorry, but I'm fully 100% against Donald Trump. I live in South Texas, and let me tell you, his words, if you're a woman, which I know you are, I am too, I take it very hard of how this man treats people and disrespectful, regardless if it's good news, bad news. Everybody deserves the respect because he still has to, you know, perform his duties and give everybody the time and explain himself and be graceful about it like Mr. Obama was.
Esmer, we're running out of time. I wish I'd taken you sooner. Just let me say this. I said this yesterday, so please listen to me. I think you should listen less to what people say and more to what they do. We have heard President Obama say a lot of nice things, but we've watched what he's done, and it's been terrible. We've heard some really bad things come out of Trump's mouth in the past, but when you watch what he does, it's good. And that's really my standard for right now in terms of leadership. So I'm just encourage you to do that. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.